Good morning, folks. Thank you for spending this hour with us on our new show, Radio Global Budapest, broadcasting live from our studios in the Buda Hills, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. on Prime FM Radio. DJ. I'm your host, Jay Miller, and today we have a special guest in the studio, Novak Andras, chief editor of Here 3D. Good morning, Andras.
Hi, Jay. Good morning.
Andras and I met this summer in New York when he was doing a shoot there. Could you tell us what you were doing in New York this summer?
It was a very, very special mission because I joined for Hungarian auxiliary police team. A couple of my friends were for Hungarian auxiliary police. This is a volunteer mission to join the Hungarian police, and they are duty every day together. And they got a very good, very interesting invitation for the American and US police department to work together and organize together meetings and duty. And I made some interview with them. How can work together with US police, US auxiliary police, and the Hungarian auxiliary police guy. And this is the reason I went there, and I asked them, the US police and the US detective, how can they work together with the Hungarian. It wasn't an international mission. It was an international meeting with Hungarians, and this is the reason I was there.
Andras, you just came back from Syria, and I know that every time I open some Hungarian media, you've been interviewed over the last few days. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that. Who sent you to Syria?
Nobody sent me. It was a big opportunity that I have a lot of Syrian friends here in Budapest, and in the last months when we talk about the Syrian revolution and about this war, they invite me every month. They invite me, Andras, come with us. We want to show you how this war going on and what happened in the Syria really, because they don't like the media and the pictures what we can see in the TVs. 2 weeks ago, my friend Mohammed, who is one of general of the rebels, invite me, and I could join them to filming and shooting their revolution, their actions and their wars. And I guess this is a very good opportunity to show the Hungarian viewers what happened really in the refugees camp, in the cities, in the countryside, how the people can survive this war situation. This is the reason I decided myself. Nobody sent me. It was my decision to go there. And ETV, Hungarian ETV chief editor, knew that I could go. He asked me to make a big report for ATV, and they called me in Syria, and I could send them a couple of reports and a couple of stories in Aleppo. Aleppo is one of the biggest cities in Syria, and during the war, during the fight, I could send a lot of reports and interviews.
How did you physically travel into Syria?
Every border of Syria now is closed. The Syrian official army, this is Bashar al-Assad, he's the president. Bashar al-Assad army closed the west side. The east side, where the rebels, they also closed the borders. My big chance was that I joined them, the rebels, the Hungarian Syrian people who lived now in Hungary, but every month they going to fight and attack the Assad army. And I could join them, and this is the reason I could cross the border. But I don't want to speak about the details.
I met your beautiful wife and your wonderful young child. How did they feel when you said, my dear family, I'm going to Syria with the rebels?
I guess Aniko is my wife. Trust me. I told her that I will do everything for my safe. I get a bulletproof vest and I wear it every time because I guess it's very important. It's really important. I got five bodyguards, very big Syrian guys. All the time they were behind me, only 30 centimeter behind my back all the time, and I guess they protect me. Aniko was a little bit nervous, but she knows that this is my job. I was 5 times in Iraq, 3 times in Afghanistan. I was in Pakistan when Osama bin Laden was killed. She knows that I like travel and this is my job. And this is the reason I told you that Aniko trust me and promise her that I will come back.
In the mid-90s, before I moved to Budapest, I've been here since then. I lived in Israel and I worked in the West Bank and the Gaza. And sometimes I found myself also in the Golan Heights, looking down upon it to what they call no man's land. And it's quite eerie. I mean, not a rat lives in the town. And where in your youth motivated you, as for me, I come from the Bronx, New York is a pretty difficult situation today even. Where did you get that fire, that spark, to follow this path where people are in chaos at war?
It is more than 15 years when I started work in the news business. I felt all the time that I want to show the people the real life. This is the reason I traveled a lot. I was in Peru with Hungarian drug transporter to make interview. I was in Africa, in the Black Africa, and I guess now in the media, in the news, you can't get the real situation from Syria because everybody speak about the negotiation. Everybody speak about Bashar al-Assad write the contract with the UN and the chemical weapons story and so on and so on. But I think this is not important. The important is how the people can survive. And how many refugees live now in the two sides of the border now in Syria? And this is the reason why I decided to go there. First question is, the people in the media, in the news, you can see that Syria joined to the chemical weapons controlling system and they want to show how many chemical weapons that they have and so on and so on. But my opinion, Army of Assad can lie for UN and the international media. They can cheat with the chemical weapons because and the rebels told me that Hezbollah from Lebanon and Iran now at this moment can help. How
to,
can I say?
Put these chemical, hide these chemical weapons.
Hide these chemical weapons in the desert and the other side of the border. And it's very interesting that the international troops going on and will go to Syria and try to find the chemical weapons, but Iran and Lebanon help them to hide these chemical weapons. And for me is not interesting question. For me, the question is now 4 million refugees live in refugees camp without medicine, without food, without clean water. And when I went there, I made a lot of interview with children in the refugees camp. These children are 3 and 4 years old and they lived more than 2 years in the refugees camp. These children cannot understand what means to live a normal house, a normal flat. Because when they were 1 and 2 years, their parents and their had to move this camp. And they lived in the last 2.5 years in the special white tents without blanket, without normal food. Sometimes they have to pay for the clean water to drink every day. For us in Europe, the big question, which mobile I want to buy? And now at this moment, more than 4 million refugees try to survive every moment, every second in Syria. This is the reason I told you that for me it's not news that Bashar al-Assad signed this stupid contract with UN and NATO and America and Russian foreign minister. It is not a question. It's not interesting. These 4 million people who has to survive this situation, this is the reason I went there and I want to show the Hungarian viewers.
I understand you exactly. In 2001, as a initiative of the American Embassy, I was sent with a group of teachers to Brčko, Bosnia, to reintegrate the school district after 10 years from when the war started. And I taught that the fundamentals of a civil society and journalism, as you are a journalist, was one of those subjects. And I'd like for a moment to read a story that was written that summer by one of my 15-year-old students then in 2001, Anessa Osmanovic, who, as a child, had to leave Bosnia across the border. And here is her story. It's called A Father for All Children. A few years ago, my mother, my little sister, and I left our town. We went to a new, strange town in a strange country. My father, however, stayed behind in Bosnia. The men couldn't cross the bridge. They had a fight in the war. We didn't know anything about him. We lived in a camp with women and children only. Every day I sat in my room and I cried. I missed my father. I couldn't believe that we were not together anymore, that I can't see him every day and talk to him or just give him a good night kiss. I was so sad and I thought that I will never see him again. One day, as I was walking with my friends, I saw a man in the distance. I couldn't see his face, but I felt something nice and strong. When he came near me, he took me in his arms and I felt all the love that he gave me. It was my father. I couldn't believe that he really came. And then all the children from the camp came and said, "It's Dad! Our dad came!" I was very happy in that moment, but I also felt very sad in my heart. I knew that my father came, and I was very happy. But I also knew that their father didn't come, and they didn't know whether their dads would ever come. I'm a father of three children myself, who lived there at the time when I looked upon the Golan Heights in no man's land. And it always affects me about war, what happens to children and families.
This is the most important question. What happened with the children? Because we talk about not 100 children. We talk now about hundreds, thousand children. The number's crazy. The situation is crazy. And their situation is upset, absolutely sad to see. I could do an interview with Ahmed Said. He was in a refugees and he showed me his daughter. She was 2 years old and 4 years old son. And he told me, "We scared very much because of chemical weapons. And this is the reason they had to leave their house. They know a lot of families who lost their relatives in the chemical attacks." He told me he doesn't want to leave this camp because he knows this camp is very, very safe. It's a very big trick that the camp is on the Turkey and Syrian border. And the Turkey army, they support a little bit the rebels. And sometimes when Bashar al-Assad Air Force, maybe MiG-23 or choppers or helicopters try to come here to make pictures and maybe to spy against the rebels, the Turkey army all the time fight the Bashar al-Assad Air Force. And the refugees knows this situation, and this is the reason every refugees camp are in the border, the Turkey border, both of side, because now the Turkey closed the border and the refugees legal, they cannot cross the border. Illegal, it's possible. I could see a lot of refugees can cross the border, but they can't stay in Turkey because they don't have money, they don't have anything. Their situation is absolutely sad. And now I try to find a couple of Hungarian charity and foundation organization, maybe in the next months, maybe in December, to take medicine, food, and something that they need in the camps. They need everything, clothes, blanket, sometimes money. Food, it's not so good because it's a little bit complicated. You know, this is my mission. I told you, I can't stay. Something happened in the world, I have to go. When was a very big earthquake in Haiti, and Haitian earthquake was the biggest in the last 50 years, when 300,000 people died, I had to go there. It wasn't a question for me. I want to show you. And the first reason was, if I make a correct film about the situation, about the people who lost their relatives, the people who lost their everything and their houses, and a lot of viewers can see my film in Budapest, in Hungary, after they will give more money, they will give more medicine, they will give more blankets, tents, and so on and so on. And I guess this is the way, how can I help them?
How do you balance a happy family life back home in Hungary with these experiences you're having in war and civil war?
For me, is sometimes very difficult. I tell you an example. I was in Haiti, and we had to make an interview in the hospital. And there were a lot of American surgery doctors, and they told me every day they have to make hundreds amputation, arms and legs, hundreds. And when we were there, they bring a 4 years girl. The doctors told me only one way for these children to survive in the future, that we amputate the left leg. And she was very smiling. She could understand that everybody from foreign people, the strange people for them, went there to help her, and this is the only chance to survive this very bad situation. And when the doctor told me that that he had to cut her leg, I was crying also. For me, it's very important. If I come back to Budapest and I try to edit my films, I absolutely separate in my mind what was my feeling and what was the exactly details about this story. My feeling and the story, I have to separate in my mind and in my film.
Let's say that on our new show, Radio Globe Budapest, this morning, brought to you by PrimeFMRadio.dj. Everybody's listening in all the countries of the European Union, of all of the regions that we have our foundations here in our building where our studios are housed, in the African continent, in Asia, and in Latin America. Everyone is listening. You're a father, you're a husband, you speak compassionately and passionately about what your eyes have seen. What would you tell the world who's listening?
Never forget that we are very, very lucky here in Europe, and the other side of the world, maybe in the Middle East or Africa or on East in Asia, a lot of millions of people, they don't have enough food, they don't have enough clean water, they have to scared every moment because of war, because of attacks, because of weapons, sometimes because of chemical weapons, and we have to understand that we are in this situation, that we can help, and we have to help them.